Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So for tonight, my very special co-hostess that I know people are waiting for is none other than Suzette Fearnon. Welcome back, Suzette.
Hi there.
I'm so excited to have you on here because I know it's the beginning of a new month whenever you're on. I know that it's going to be a great conversation. I know that people are going to feel inspired, whether they're straight wives living in a situation, getting out of a situation, whether it's, you know, gay husbands who are looking to come to terms with their situation, other men who are looking to get hope from these men who are trying to get out of their situations. There's, you know, lots of variations here of people who are listening to this show, and we do appreciate it. We try to bring you the right answers for the situations that you're living in. And although I do say, Suzette, and you will probably agree with me, that this does not necessarily apply to 100% of people in this situation. It really does apply to almost everyone in it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
It's a painful kind of marriage. And, you know, for instance, I had a letter from a listener who wrote to me this week. It's been a little while since I've heard from her, and my heart really went out to her. You know, she's staying in her marriage because she feels that she has to do this for the sake of her children. And she knows all the arguments and she knows all the, you know, questions about it. And she just doesn't have, you know, the strength right now to do more. But, you know, she's not giving up hope. And that's why I say there's not a timeline for this. Nobody's telling you only have 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 years. you know, people aren't saying you have to do it this minute, but it has to be somewhere that you have to be emotionally free before you can be physically free. And for some women, that takes much longer than for others. Would you agree with that?
Oh, most definitely. There's so many factors. You know, sometimes we women can feel like we've been in a relationship so long that we've invested so much that, you know, it would almost be it would almost be us disrespecting our own investment for us to just walk away, when really the truth of the matter is, you know, walking away is the best, is the best thing, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's hard for some women to just walk away, because maybe you've dealt with some of the women in this situation. They feel that they have a good marriage. Okay, there's not a lot going on sexually, but they're married to their best friend. And that they don't want to have to lose that best friend who's a good father to their children, who in all other respects seems to be a good guy and a good husband. You know, and that other couples, after they're married for 20, 30 years, there's not that much sex anyway. So how do you address that situation?
You know, I struggle with it. I do, but I have to be honest. I struggle with good. You know, I always say we need to really redefine good. You know, we have to really redefine he's my very best friend. Because your best friend does not consciously do something that they know is hurting you. The best friend doesn't look you in your eyes and lie to you or make you the heavy, you know, for what's going on, knowing that as soon as you go to sleep at night, that person wants to go out and be with somebody else. I have difficulty with this best friend argument. You know?
I think that a lot of men are able to compartmentalize, and they differentiate between the wives who they love, even though they don't love them in a straight way, they still love them in a gay way, versus having a boyfriend or sex on the side. So in other words, they can still be a good husband because they are good to their family. They're there. They support them emotionally, financially. But that has nothing to do with their other feelings of being gay. And I think that's how they compartmentalize, and they're able to live with that. And they really don't think they're doing anything wrong.
But the problem is how the woman is feeling. You know, my thing is, it's not one of those things where we're in a marriage and I'm not happy or I'm going through difficulty. It's not, well, that's your problem. We're in a union. So what affects one affects both.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the compartmentalization, I understand that's something men really have had to learn to do, and it's a survival thing. I get that. But I still say we have to challenge this best friend, you know, good man thing, because good men don't lie to you. Best friends don't put you in a situation that you've got to dope yourself up or psych yourself out to be in. And
which leads me to our next point, Suzette, about you said the word, like the bonus word of the night, good men. So let's just sidestep for a moment and talk about good men, because that's something that's coming up really soon in the world of Suzette Vernon, and I want every woman who's listening to this to know about it and understand it. So we'll go back to the best friend concept, but I do want to bring this up now. I'm so impressed with your second annual, how would you call it, teleconference? Or?
Yeah, it's a virtual summit, and
virtual
I've broken
summit,
it
right?
down, because a lot of people read that and they don't realize that encompasses online, it encompasses dial-in, you know. So, because I had some people say, well, Suzette, I don't think I'm going to be able to make your summit. I'm going to be out of town. I'm like, uh-huh. Well, you don't have to physically be there. As long as you have a cell phone or an electronic device and the time, you certainly can attend it. And they're like, oh, okay.
Now, will that be at any point podcast so people can pick it up later on?
Well, it's going to be it. Yeah, I guess podcast and audio are about the same thing. It's going to be broadcasted live at 7
right.
p.m. nightly Eastern time, but
mm-hmm.
people will have a 24-hour window from the time it airs.
Oh, okay,
to be
great.
Able to listen to it. Yeah, because I want people, because we've got people who are registering from all over the place, you know,
uh-huh.
all over the you know, the country and abroad, and I want all of them to be able to benefit, whatever their time zone, to be able to benefit from being able to listen to it. So, yeah.
So
I'm
let's talk a little bit about
this,
Suzette, because this is a major, major undertaking. I am really in awe of how you were able to put this together. But the problem
Thank
arises
you.
When a lot of times women, they're coming out of bad relationships or destructive relationships, and they say, well, I've had it. You know, there's no sense
mm-hmm.
looking. There's nobody good out there. And, of course, we've had a lot of struggles, many of us, you know, through our marriages or relationships. So I think there's some points where you just feel, well, why even bother? And then you go
mm-hmm.
out into the dating world, and there's a whole bunch of game players. You've been away
oh,
from
yeah.
the dating scene sometimes for 20 to 30 years. You have no clue what you're walking back into. And then all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden, boom, this hits you, right? So.
Yeah, it does. It hits you. And I think that's one of the good reasons that a person who finds himself in that situation would really benefit from the summit. Because, you know, when you've been with somebody or attracted a certain type of man, or you've been along with your own thoughts, whether they're conspiracy theories or confabulations, whatever story you've told yourself, you need somebody outside of that to be able to tell you something that's true and real. And who better
mm-hmm.
to tell you about men than men? Because many of us have ended up in the with the problems that we've had because we've lived around men, but we really don't know how they're wired, what they think, how they process, how they go about relationships. We don't know. So a lot of times we find ourselves attracting the same kind of man, wondering, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Or we'll blame him. And I'm like, what would stop the insanity is for somebody who knows men to decode them and say, listen, when they say this to you, this is what they really mean. You know, when they do this, this is why they're really doing it. So we won't go into this thing of, you know, trying to rationalize or make a story around it that's completely within our own frame of reference but might not have a thing to do with how men are. And I think it's very key, and I think it's a part of healing also, because knowledge is power. The more we know about somebody, the more we understand the way they communicate, the more confidently we can re-enter the dating world or have a relationship. So
I think it's so important
for
our women, and the reason why I think that we really need it more so than other women, to be honest with you, is because many of our women have only been in one marriage, and it's to their gay husband.
Mm-hmm.
And their reactions to men are based on the way they're treated by their gay husband as opposed to a straight man. And that is
exactly.
not to say there aren't some very nice gay husbands out there. They're nice. And I know they
mm-hmm.
love their families to the best of their ability, but they treat you totally different than a straight man would treat you. Not to say that there's a lot of wonderful straight men. I mean, there's, you know, bad straight men too. But you wouldn't even know what you're walking into if you don't have something to norm it with. And if
exactly.
your only experience has been with a gay husband, and so you're going
yep.
to slip back into those same feelings of insecurities. What are they really saying to me? Because you've been misinterpreting everything now for 20 or 30 years. Can I ever
yeah.
trust again? I mean, the trust issues are super huge when you've been married to a gay man. You know that. You know,
oh,
are you ever able to get past that again, right?
Yeah, and the thing about it, what we have to understand is though we've tried to normalize it for as long as we've been in our relationships with our gay husbands, it's not normal.
Exactly.
Know?
We're
and
normalizing
so,
the abnormal, which doesn't ever
exactly.
work.
Exactly. It's not normal, but you have no way of really knowing what normal is until you have somebody to set the record straight. And I love what these men are doing. It's 18 of them, and they are really giving great perspective, putting the dots really close, you know, and really telling the truth about men and relationship. And I love the theme. The theme is kings, princes, and fools. What good men want you to know, and bad men will never tell you. And I think it's very helpful, especially to straight wives or recovering straight wives, to be able to differentiate between the two, because our lives have been a distortion for so long. We wouldn't even know what's real if it came up and tapped us on the shoulder.
Well, I think that's the problem with straight wives, not all of them, of course, but for a number of them. When they come out of these marriages, they're so void of any kind of emotional warmth or sexual warmth that now that they're out there on their own, like little chickens, you know, crossing the street without any kind of protection or knowing how to look for the signs of being run over, they often find these men who are game players, who know how to use women, and because they're so starving for love and affection, you know, it's so easy to fall into that trap. I'm saying that based on my own personal experience. I know when I first started dating again, I just wanted somebody to love me. And that's because I'd been so unloved for so long and didn't really feel very lovable. So I was really making some very poor decisions on who I was seeing through, you know, those first couple of years. And I think it's because, you know, I had lost my sense of, you know, what's important as far as a relationship was concerned. I was needy, as many of us are. And I tell those women who go and jump into bed with somebody, I understand your need to do it. You've been sexually deprived for 10, 20, 30 years. You want to feel that before you're too old, you want to do it. But you can't let yourself get emotionally entangled in these, you know, relationships that are just there for the moment and aren't going to be there for the long term. So do you deal with that on your seminar?
Yes. The rules are the rules. The thing about it, whether we've been sexually deprived or not, the rules are still the rules. And like I told one person that I'm coaching now, I said, you know what? I said, before you enter into a intimate or sexual relationship with a man, know what the rules are. I said, because they're rules. And just like you cannot go into a grocery store just because you're hungry and just start eating up all the food without going to jail, you need to know before you start throwing your body, you know, in harm's way, you need to know what the rules are. You need to know before you go in, there are rules, there are consequences to every action. And sure, as grown women, we do deserve sex. Let me make that perfectly clear. But just because a man has the ability physically to do that does not mean he is the right man to do it. You know, because just like you said, there are definitely predators out there, but also there are just simply broken men. Like one of the men, and I don't want to divulge too much from the summit, but like one of the speakers said, he said, you know, even a good man is not a good man for you if you're catching him when he's going through a transition. If he's just coming out of a relationship, even a good man is not emotionally available for you. So brokenness begets brokenness. So he doesn't even have to be a shark. He doesn't even have to be a predator. Just by virtue of you being broken, it's like you
I think that's such great advice,
else,
and you're right.
Broken.
That could be a good broken man. Doesn't have to be a bad broken man. And
yeah,
that's why there's so many things that women have no clue that they have to look for if we're getting involved. But I have seen so many women who get hurt because they're in their understandable and justifiable desperation, let me just make that really clear.
Yeah.
Because after being so avoided for so many years, and somebody comes along and flatters you a little, says you're beautiful, says, how is it that your husband didn't want to sleep with you? I'd do anything to be in bed with you. It doesn't take much convincing when you haven't had that for so long. But I just tell women, don't expect this to be the next step in your life with this person. Because we're just, like I say, just so vulnerable. And I'm sure they do want you. I mean, otherwise, that's how straight men are. Straight men do want women. I think that's where women make the mistake. They think, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this guy wants me. Yes, he wants you. You're a woman. Straight men want women.
Hello.
It's really so simple.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Oh,
and it doesn't matter your size or your shape or your age. I told you, I'm way out of shape. I haven't been in shape for many years. And my boyfriend just tells me more of you to love. You know, he doesn't care. He thinks I'm wonderful and beautiful because he loves me. And he sees me as someone who, you know, he thinks is beautiful and lovable. But once again, we don't believe, no, we don't believe that ourselves because we haven't been feeling that way for so long. So it's easy to fall into bed with the wrong person, and that's okay as long as you don't get emotionally attached and think that this is the future for me.
And that's
because that's
the problem.
Just not going to be happening, right?
And that's the problem, because most of the time, especially if a guy is really giving you that attention and that validation, at least in the beginning when all that dopamine got you both just kind of, you know, skipping and jumping like rabbits, it's easy to fall in love with or think you are in love. It's like, oh, my God, he could not make love to me like this if he didn't feel something. Well, let me tell you, yes, he can. He can make love to you like you're the best thing since sliced bread and put his clothes right back on, walk out, and act like it has not even happened. And that's why I said you have to know the rules before you go in. You have to know the rules and prepare yourself. Not only prepare yourself by having your own condoms. Hello, I'm going to keep it real with the ladies. Because some of them, realistically, you're going to slip because somebody going to blow on your neck and you're going to be like, Lord, I haven't had my neck blown on for 20 years. And you're going to just lose your doggone mind. Make sure you have your own protection. I don't care if he looks like Denzel Washington or Brad Pitt. I don't care if he smells like, you know, whatever your favorite fragrance is. Have your own. Stop him long enough to make him put his umbrella on. And if he doesn't have an umbrella, then there are female condoms too. So have your stuff together. You know, my thing is be responsible because even though you might have been starved sexually, you still are an adult and you're the only person who is responsible for your body. So make sure you're packing yourself.
They don't care that they have a sexually transmitted disease.
Uh-uh,
I mean, one time I was really lucky enough, and I laugh at this story now, it was 20-some years, 25 years ago or 26 years ago, when I dated a man for a short moment in time, and he was honest enough as we were getting a little more, you know, close there to tell me, one last thing, I just feel I should tell you this. I said, what is it? He said, I have herpes, but it's not active right now. Well, those were the magic words, you know, herpes. I didn't care whether it was active or not active. I wasn't taking a chance. I mean, at least he was honest with me. And I had to say goodbye because I would have to think about it every time I would let him touch me, and I couldn't do that.
I know that's right. I know
but
that's
at least
right.
He was considerate enough. A lot of these guys are not.
Yeah,
and they will
and
give
some,
you a sexually transmitted
people,
disease, and they won't care.
That's true, and that's why I say, you know, make sure. Hey, you know if you're feeling vulnerable or not. We know if we're feeling that way. And let me say, we are vulnerable. You know, if you're in that situation where your needs are not being met, you are vulnerable. So make sure you keep what you need to keep in your pocketbook at all times. But, you know, because I'm very realistic. There are some ladies that are going to hear this and going to be like, well, you know what? I'm not interested in nobody right now anyway. but you just never know. Life has this funny way of when you least expect it, here comes somebody that makes your wig flip on your head, and you need to be prepared for those kind of moments, you know. But
it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, because, you know, unless people have done the work. Now, I do have to say, if ladies start doing the work on themselves, part of it is educating themselves, listening to this show, but also getting professional help where they can start putting some dots together. Even they might not be physically out of the relationship, but you're working toward freeing yourself. You're working toward no longer expecting your gay husband to provide what you need. You're going out and you're figuring out ways that you can help yourself until you have what you need to have to leave or whatever, make the other decision. Then women like that don't tend to be as vulnerable when they come out. But those who are just in their own heads and they're just talking to their girlfriends or, you know, just living in the closet and crying and all that kind of thing, you know what? You really do need to start working on yourself because you really are more vulnerable than you think you are. You really are. And I tell you, it's nothing like, it's almost like a guided missile. You know it, Bonnie, just like I know it. When you're vulnerable, it's almost like open season. Boys that you haven't heard from in years. Men that ain't called you in 10 years, all of a sudden, they're calling you and they're telling you the very thing you want to hear. Well, you know what? There hadn't been anybody like you. You know, and next thing you know, your mind is just twirling, you know, and all sensibilities go out the window. And next thing you
know, it's so sad.
There are a lot of game players out there.
And they all have, you know, a lot of these guys have different agendas. And you know, it just never amazes me how hard it is to find the right match. But I know that you really struggled with it too, right?
Yeah, I did. I struggled. Oh, my goodness, I struggled. Like I've said often on this show, I was, you know, the magnet, you know, the poster child for attracting unavailable men. And I kept right on attracting them until I got the memo, Suzette. If this man is really, you know, you one of those attractive where you can hardly think about anything else but him. 9 times out of 10, he is unavailable. You know, just go in the opposite direction. Run, Forrest, run. Because 9 times out of 10, he's going to be unavailable. Until I really got real with myself and told myself the truth. I was a magnet for unavailable men. I was trying so hard to get them to be available. I thought maybe if I explained it well enough, if I was what I thought but they wanted, if I could convince them that I was what they were looking for, if I could put the dots real clear and be very clear in my speech and complain in the right way and explain it the right way, they would understand, sweetheart, you're not available. I need you to be available. That it would change them. Did it change them? No. It did not. The only thing that changed was I stayed longer than I needed to stay. They didn't change. I compromised. I kept telling them I couldn't take it, but I kept taking it. I kept telling them this is terrible for me, but I kept right on being right there to talk on the phone with them when they called. So, you know, my message would be to the ladies out there is really, before anybody else can play you, you play yourself. And I'm a get it real, tell the truth kind of person. Don't play yourself, because before anybody else can play you, you had to play yourself. Before anybody else betrays you, you had to betray yourself first. And so I'm really grateful that these men will be able to point out for us the ways we betray ourselves, and we're thinking we're being nice. But they are thinking of it as being, but you set a standard and you crossed your own line.
You think they
you
feel we're needy?
You drew a line in the sand and you crossed your own line. That does not make
you think they feel we're needy,
Suzette?
Yes. They think of us as needy and that we're going to be a lot of care, and that could be a turn off to them too, right?
Yeah, because if you set a standard and they can convince you to cross your own standard,
uh-huh.
then they're not going to say, wow, she's so nice. She tried to see things my way. Wow, that just means she's a great person. No, they don't see it that way. They see it as, uh-huh. man, she says she had a standard, but you mean I could get her to betray that standard so easily?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I mean, sure, I'm going to try, but if I won that easy, it wasn't a standard. And that
uh-huh.
causes them to it's almost like you don't want a man to have an opinion of you that the longer he's around you, that high opinion that he held for you gets lower and lower. You don't want that.
Uh-huh.
You don't want
You want it to raise higher,
and
not
so,
get lower, right?
Exactly. And these men at this summit are really telling the truth. So we have to put our big girl pants on for this one because they're coming real. And I'm
what did
so
you learn
glad.
From the last one, Suzette? Can you give a few lessons that you learned from the last summit you had?
The last summit concentrated more on the whys. That was the why level. Why is he treating me this way? Why isn't he returning my calls? Why did he take my number and not call me? Why do men cheat? Why do men lie? You know, it's all the whys that women have. You know, that was the level of the first one. It was wise. But this one, Bonnie, this one is more of consciousness, being more conscious, you know, about men, not just dwelling on whys, because a lot of times if we deal with the why level, then the next thing is how to. How do we get them to stop doing this? And it becomes more of a lesson in manipulation. But
uh-huh.
this one is more about showing up as who you really are, not the broken you, but the authentic you, and it's challenging us as women to get back to who we really are.
I'm just going to see if you have any feedback from last time on if women think that they can go and change a man. What do you think?
No. No, you can't. It's a no and a yes, and I'm going to explain why. No, you cannot change a man, okay? That's the universal rule. You know, if it's the fish you caught, you can't change him from being a bass, you know, to being a mudcat.
A flounder. Right.
Yeah, you can't make him be a flounder if he's a trout, you know? So in that
uh-huh.
sense, you cannot change him. But can you inspire him to change his behavior towards you because he cares about you? If you are the right woman, yes, you can.
Uh-huh.
And like there's one thing that Steve Harvey says that I totally agree with. He said, no, a man will not change for anybody but the right woman. He won't change for any woman, but he will change for the right woman.
Uh-huh. Do you think he really changes internally or just habit-wise?
You know, I think a woman can aspire the the best version of a man. She can inspire his evolution into his best self. I believe that.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he's a liar and a cheat and he enjoys it and he prides himself on it, you know, he might become more slick and just not lie and cheat around her. But if there's something inside of her that says, no, you're better than this. You're better than this. And something inside of him says, you know what? She makes me want to be a better man. Then, yes.
Uh-huh.
But there has to be something inside of him that being with you makes him want to be better. And he
right.
sees
that
being better
as guys who. You don't want to look for guys who have these personality deficits like narcissism and control issues because those are issues that you can't change. And I think that we think if we love them enough, they're going to become better. And they don't.
Mm-mm. They don't, because it's a character flaw. It's in their character.
Right.
It's in the character. Because there's a difference between immaturity and lack of character.
Mm-hmm.
Because immaturity means you can mature.
Right.
But if it's a character defect, that's the difference in trying to make a trout a flounder. No, he's going to still be a trout.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
you
that's
might
what
learn
women...
how to talk flounder, but you got to know he's a trout.
So are some of the men you're having on your show, have they been in long-term relationships?
Yeah, I have all kinds. I
mm-hmm.
felt like, you know, I felt like if I was going to make this summit really effective,
mm-hmm.
I had to have experts, yes, but also average men. I had to have single and married.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have men in relationships and men who are not. I had to have divorced men, you know,
mm-hmm.
and happily married men. So I kind of go across the spectrum. I had to have men of different faiths and men of different races. They're not all black men. They're not all white men. They're
mm-hmm.
not all Christian. They're not all Jewish. There is a
mm-hmm.
wonderful microcosm, I feel like, of this world that we live in. And I wanted to bring together men so that we could also learn one thing that's very apparent. Many of us are not going to marry or become in long-term relationships with relationship experts. Let's just get real. There are men that we're going to see at the gas station, at the meetup, at church, while we're walking our dog. We need to be able to recognize good men, whether we're in the grocery store or pumping gas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to bring a mixture of men to this summit, and I feel like I have picked the best of the best. Great men who all want to see women empowered. Their goal is not to make women feel less than or like, you know, I am man, so let me tell you women how you ought to be. Uh-uh. It's really showing women where their power truly lies.
And
bad
and
men don't ever want
wonderful.
Women to know that. You know, and that's the secret. Bad, they're telling you what bad men don't want you to know. Bad men don't want you to know where your power lies.
Mm-hmm. Because bad men don't want you to have any power.
Exactly.
You know, they like to be in control. They like to control
exactly.
you.
Exactly. They
right?
want you to keep serving them, whatever that
mm-hmm.
way is. They want you to continue to cater to whatever their agenda is. They don't want you to be powerful. They don't want you to find out the strength that you inherently have, that you don't have to go out and buy or put in your hair. They want you to know that your power is not in your weave. Your power is not in your 36, 24, 36.
Mm-hmm.
There is a power that women have inherently that for whatever reason we've been talked out of it. And they want you to know, wait a minute, hold on now, take that out and dust it off. Because good men will appreciate it. And we don't want just any men. We want good men.
Well, you want men who are not going to feel threatened by you. That's number one. Also,
mm-hmm.
I think that you may not correlate this exactly the same, but most of our women have been caretakers for most of their lives in their marriages. Because I always say that straight wives make the best wives because they keep trying harder and harder to make something work that they have no clue why it's not working. So they internalize the blame for themselves and they think, well, if only I could do this better, if only I could do that better. You know, so we're always trying to do self-improvement on ourselves so that our husbands will love us better, even though we have no clue why they're not doing that to start with. So we are, nurturers, we're caretakers. I think that they really look for women who are like that. And
mm-hmm.
so we've been used to taking care of men our whole lives because we're not getting what we need out of them in other ways. So we feel if we get our pat on the head or you're such a good wife or I'm so glad I'm married to you. You know, we're settling for those crumbs because crumbs are better than nothing, we think. And so we've become actual, you know, caretakers and nurturers. And then the next guy who comes along, I mean, that if that's who we are, if we don't learn to set those boundaries and make it so that it's not going to be starting off with me taking care of whatever you need to get done, because that's many of our natures. Was it your nature, you think?
Oh, indeed. I think, honestly, I don't think it was, I don't think caretaking was my nature. Because I was an independent middle child. So I don't think caretaking was my nature. I think because as I grew up in the household I lived in, that I started being starved for attention and for affection and to be noticed and to be acknowledged. That was what caused me to be more of a needing validation from men. Okay, I'll do whatever you say because I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to validate me. I want you to tell me I'm okay. I'm worth it. I'm worthy. I'm your first round draft pick. So I'm going to do these things, not because I'm a caretaker, because under any other circumstances, I would not do this. But if there's potential in you to give me what my soul so longs for, my wounded self so longs for, I'll do it. And it becomes almost like an aphrodisiac. I almost become compulsive in it because I so need that pat on the head. I so need you to tell me I'm okay. I so need you to tell me I'm beautiful. I so need you to tell me I'm a great person. I so need you to love me. I so need you to make me your wife. I so need you to put Mrs. I need to be your Mrs. I so need that I'm willing to do whatever you tell me I need to do in order for you to give it to me. You know?
I think communication can be such a difficult thing when it comes to relationships. Do you agree?
Yes, it can be. And you know what I had to learn? Is communicating is not just telling somebody how I feel or telling somebody what they're doing that's bothering me. Communication requires empathy on both sides. Not just one-sided where I hear how you don't like what I did and I try to change it for you, but yet I tell you what you did that bothered me and you're not trying your best because you respect and love me to change that behavior so that I am okay as well. So I think what I'm learning about communication is a very valuable part of communication is both parties' ability to be empathetic. It cannot be one-sided. It cannot be one-sided. And in a lot of our relationships, especially those where we are been married to gay husbands, it has been one-sided. It has been one-sided, and they've been given a whole lot of
talk. And there's certainly been a lack of empathy
talk.
Because a lot of them don't feel empathetic at all.
They can talk the talk now and make you feel like you really were heard. But the way you can tell if you really were heard is if they change. And many times they do not. They give you reason and explanation and rationalizations, but do they ever really change? No. But you're the one that's doing all the changing, all the heavy lifting. And they're just finding great ways to weasel out of it.
No. I think it's so sad to me because, you know, so many women who are so desperate. And, you know, they've grown up living codependent lives within their families. You know, they role model themselves after their mothers who are codependent or who put up with abuse or cheating or other kinds of yelling and rageaholism, you know, all kinds of different things. And sometimes they meet into a relationship and not a guy who's, you know, really slick and he knows how to make her feel like the most important person in the world. And like you say, your genes get confused with it and your feelings of love all of a sudden, you know, take over. And you're just so desperate for somebody to love you again. And I know that pain. I've been in that pain. you know, I've been hurt by that pain of making poor decisions until I found, you know, the right decision. But I made loads of bad decisions until that happened. And that's why I said my heart goes out to every woman who needs to meet a man. But I do want to also say, like, not to cut you, but for one second, if you don't feel like you want to meet a man, that's okay too. Right, Suzette?
Yes, it is. It is. And that was what I was at one of the ladies that was I was talking to about the summit. She said, well, I mean, she said, I'm happily single. She said, I said, well, great. I said, because this summit is not just for the lovelorn.
Uh-huh.
It's for all of us who want to benefit in our relationship. That's what it's for. And then you don't want to wait until you find, you know, you come upon somebody that really you find yourself really attracted to all of a sudden start learning relationship skills and all of a sudden start learning, okay, I didn't have boundaries before. Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh. Now I need to get some boundaries. But you can't wait until it happens to get some. You need to learn and get some and cultivate that before you meet that person.
Right. So
and
in other words, what
we're
now saying to you is this, that if you don't get to this, you know, seminar now, and let's say you meet somebody in November, you're going to have to wait until next summer, till the next summit, to go out with them, right?
And truly, and then the thing about it is, let's say you meet a great man. Let's say you meet a super-duper great man. If you have not dealt with some of these thoughts and stories and self-sabotaging behaviors, you can even make a good man run away from you because you're such a mess. So now is the time to start working on ourselves. Now is the time to get honest. Now is the time to ask for help. Now is the time to do the work, you know, so that you can be whole, number one, for yourself. And then when you meet somebody, you can bring a certain level of wholeness and self-actualization into the mix. And that way,
I know this may sound like a question that sounds silly, but let's say you're not looking for a relationship, but you just need to work with men. Will this seminar help women know how to better interact with men in general?
Oh, yes, because, I mean, let's face it. There is some truth to men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We may as well, and it's almost worse than that because we talk the same language, but come at it from two whole different mindsets. So it's like, you know, it's almost like a person from a foreign country learning English. They might learn the words, but unless they understand the culture and all these things behind the words, they still can talk to you and still misunderstand what you're saying. So I think this is a benefit to anybody who interacts with men on any level. To understand men is a wonderful second language to have.
Well, I think so, too. I think it should be a language within itself, like English as a second language, male talk as a second language, right?
Yes, male speak. Do you speak male? I wrote an article called that. Do you speak male? I think it's even a chapter in my book, Protecting Your Emotional G-Spot, about really being able to speak male. It's important. It's very important to be able to speak male. Because the thing that we have to understand as ladies is men are not wired for relationships. They really aren't. They don't have that special something, that connectivity toward it because they think rational. They go from reasoning to emotion, and we go from emotion to reasoning. So if anybody's going to help guide men into relating better, the woman has to be the most informed so she can help him to understand how women are. Most men who are good at women were really taught by a woman in some way, whether it was their moms, their grandmothers, their wives. You know, these men that a lot of these women want to be with or are so sensitive, it's because of a woman. They didn't just wake up that way. So, you know, in relationships, we really are the barometer. We really are the guy. And so it behooves us to understand how men are wired so we can kind of help them to understand us better. Because really, when a man loves you, he really wants to please you. And most men really want to please a woman. I mean, it's critical to their economy. It's critical to them getting sex that they understand women. So the virtue of that, if for no other reason, so they can have their economy straight, all that we're able to provide them is of great benefit to them. So, and you know, because your man loves you. I know because my man loves me. They want to please us. Men want to please us. Normal men, ladies, normal men want to please women. They really do.
Well, more than normal men, we'll say straight men.
Yeah.
Not to imply that gay is not normal. But, you know, I think more like straight men are looking to please women. And gay men are just trying to run away from women.
Well,
especially after
gay
they
men
marry
wanna please gay men wanna please gay men. You know, or whoever the object of their affection is. It's still in a man to want to please his object of affection. It's just
if
he's gay, you're not his
be.
Object of affection. Yeah.
Right. That's the way it should be. Gay men should be pleasing gay men, and straight men should be with women. And I think that's the whole disconnect in our whole situation of millions of men who think that even though they're gay, they can still please a woman. And then they think because they're there, you know, in some capacity as a friend or a companion, that should be good enough. Because they, I always say gay men don't think straight. And that's not a put down in any way whatsoever. Straight men don't think gay. So, you know, there's a difference and a disconnect on how each group is thinking. And what a gay man might think a straight man would pretend to think is not what a straight man is thinking. So
that's right.
A lot of those disconnects come in there.
And
but hopefully, after listening
know.
Through your seminars, and let's talk about how they get to listen, because they can go to your website right now and sign up,
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Go straight to www.statisticsbedarned.com, or they can go to my website where I have links to the, it's like all roads lead to the summit, so they cannot go to a website and not find about the summit. But if they want to go straight directly to the summit, if they go to statisticsbedarned.com, it will take them directly to the page where they would be able to register. So that's where they need to go. Yes.
I know, and I was having so much fun watching you on YouTube today.
Thank
I always get
you.
A kick out of, you know. Yeah, I love watching your video for the upcoming summit on YouTube. And
thank you.
That's all right. My nephew Jeremy just put out a Pokemon YouTube naming 151 Pokemon in 3 minutes. And he's gotten like 20,000 hits in a day from all over the world. Yes, if you go to Internal Rhyme on either Facebook or on YouTube, and you'll see the Pokemon video. He does really good videos, you know. My nephew's a rapper. But But don't judge him by the Pokemon one, because I have no clue what he's saying. It's 151 Pokemon. I don't even know who they are. I don't know. When I was growing up with Pokemon, people were saying to you, don't let your children watch it because they're trying to have seizures in your kids' brains. So I kept my kids away from it, and I was scared. All that flashing back then. Today people would laugh at that because there's so much flashing all over that this is like a piece of nothing. But, interesting, your video will be. You can look on YouTube for Suzette Fernand, and also go to her website. If you can't find it, you can come to me, and I'll send you the link to it. And I would just like to say hello to a very special listener who's, you know, a friend of mine who's like family to me, who's been listening to all of your shows. He's a big fan of yours, Suzette. To my friend Scott, who you sang happy birthday to last month when you were here.
Oh, yes.
He's going through some personal struggles on his, you know, himself, but I tell him that, look, you know, he's such a wonderful guy. You can't let anything get you down, right?
That's right,
good men will always rise to the top.
They'll always rise to the top.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
I'll be so excited to hear how this summit went on our next show in September. And for all of those of you who are listening, please make sure you still have time to sign up. And even if you don't go to the whole summit, you can go to the ones that you want to listen to, right?
Mm-hmm. They got to register because those that register are the first to find out who's speaking when.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're the first.
So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you want to know how men think for your future relationships, some of the women have told me they're excited they signed up from our group. So I was really excited to hear that. So to all of you who signed up
so
for Suzette's workshops, I want to report back from you. So you can tell me how much you've learned, and let's piece it together, and we'll learn a lot more about men. So, Suzette, I just want to thank you so much for being part of this show. It means so much to me and to so many other people. You know, you're always so inspirational. And if you need coaching, Suzette is your person. She is the best coach that you can ever possibly imagine. And Suzette's been coaching for a number of years, and the women who I have who go to her just love her. She really helps them get to the next point in their lives. And, you know, some people need a therapist, but other people just need a coach, you know, and somebody to be there to be their personal cheerleader and to make a game plan with them and make sure they're sticking to the game plan instead of going off track. And if they're interested in having you for their coach, they can also go to your website, right, at coachsuzette.com.
Yep,
coachsuzette.com.
Happy to
coach. And you can get in touch with Suzette through there also. And also on that website, you also have your link to your summit.
No, I don't have the summit on that website, but I can definitely get it on there.
Good idea. But, you know, if you can't get it through that, you can go to statisticsbedarned.com and sign up there. And if you can't find the link, just write to bondk@aol.com. When you go to Suzette's website, that's coachsuzette.com, you'll also see her wonderful books that are very inspiring. I keep one by my desk at all times, actually two of them. But, you know, there's a few books that you can buy from Suzette, and it'll really change your life. Everything you can do positive to make your life better, that's what it's about. Right, Suzette?
Oh, it is. And really, in all honesty, no matter how bad it looks right now, you know, there's always tomorrow. And the decisions that we make today can definitely move us toward the life we really want to have. And I would love to be that supporter, you know, that accountability partner to help you to take those steps one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One step at a time.
You don't have to push
because
or rush yourself. You just have to start moving. And once you start moving, you'll
start
see how fast you move.
That's right. One step at a time.
All right.
Yes,
so we're going to say goodnight to our listeners, Yvette. I'm going to say hi to Yvette. I know that she's been listening to the show all night. She sent me a note saying, Suzette. She said, I'm so happy my name rhymes with your name. She says, here, this is, I love to listen to you every month. Thank you for being on the show. You're welcome, Yvette, right?
Thank you, Yvette.
And make sure you're signed up for that seminar, Yvette. So, Suzette,
please.
I want to thank you so much. You know that I love you. And I'll look forward to hearing all about the summit on next month's show.
All righty. Love everybody.
Love to you, all of you, and love to you, Suzette.
Love you too,
I'll go out with the Beatles song. Good night, everybody.
Good night.